that's been one of your responsibilities. What's been your learning curve and your stress level to take this bank to the next level in technology where people can bank on sbdanbury.com?
All right, well, I'll take the second question first. Stress, there's no stress. This is like, it's a labor of love to take something and grow something and nurture it. And again, if you see the vision for the bank to take the bank forward for the next 170 years plus, then, you know, you're all in on that. But again, it is competitive. World that we live in, the big banks have huge budgets for technology. You know, we try to pick and choose what technologies make sense for us because we can't be, you know, all things to all people. But we know our customers, and you know, again, you know, it's an ongoing process to educate our customers, our staff, and to look out, you know, look for those new things that can add the wow factor. You know, in daily banking.
And I know you do a lot of work on that because I'm a member of the, full disclosure, a member of the Waterbury Advisory Board, and I hear some of the stories about the choices you're trying to make, and there's a lot of good stuff out in the marketplace. You just have to take the time to figure out which ones fit as you just described.
That's correct. I mean, again, you want to make it easy, but you don't want to get it so that it's too complicated. You want to get straightforward and that people get the... And today, where you have a lot of fraud, you want to get those alerts, those confirmations, so people know that their transactions are safe and protected. And if something, you know, unusual comes up, they're notified on a timely basis.
Well, especially, like, I know you're closing loans and closing things for people that could be, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, and you really have to be conscientious of the fraud and the wire transfers and those sorts of things.
Well, the wire transfers, but even more importantly, individuals need to protect their personal information. They can't give it out because the scammers, the criminals, the bad guys, however you want to characterize them, they are out to separate people from their money.
It's an old Irish saying. 203-757-1320. I'm going to keep Nick for the hour. So if you'd like to talk about anything financial, questions, how to borrow, home equity lines, the economy, how he sees it, because he has the responsibility for how many people are you responsible for overseeing?
Yeah. I don't keep count, but you know, certainly have a, you know, 50, 60 people that work for me. Yes.
Okay, so that's a lesson in itself. So 203-757-1320. Let's talk about how long you've been in Waterbury, and I know you've made a major push in Waterbury, and a lot of you worked in Waterbury before the Savings Bank of Danbury came here.
Well, that's true. Martin Morgado, the president of the bank, grew up in Waterbury. I worked in Waterbury for other institutions. And, you know, we like Waterbury. Waterbury, you know, again, it's a working city, people working, and we think there's opportunities. And we have committed to two branches that we own. We are not tenants. We own them. We made that commitment to purchase those buildings and renovate them. If anyone has a chance to go by that North Main Street location, you'll see that we did a great job, a wonderful job of taking that former TD Bank, but it actually goes back to Security Savings.
I think American was there too.
Yeah, and so we completely, you know, renovated it. And again, we try to make these things customer friendly.
It's right on the corner of Chase Avenue, the CVS or the Mercury Fuel Mobile. Really done nice. And Martin grew up in that neighborhood, so I think it's also a point of personal pride.
Oh, no question about it. But again, you know, we serve people. At the end of the day, this is all about people and getting out to, you know, not being a specific town. So you have to have a broad, you know, view of you know, who you want to serve. And I think for us, given our legacy as a savers bank, you know, we want working people and small business people and entrepreneurs and people who have their own personal visions that, you know, that's what we're looking to help.
And how does a very mixed, cool bunch of people on your Waterbury Advisory Board, how does that help the bank navigate Waterbury? And maybe you could talk a little bit about our quarterly meetings, because I always find them to be absolutely riveting.
Well, I think having an advisory board, and let's talk specifically about the Waterbury Advisory Board, you know, they allow us, because the makeup of the board is a cross-section of, you know, we got attorneys, we got CPAs, we've got nonprofit executives, we've got a variety, we got, in your case, Tom, you bring a multiple of the background to the board. So, you know, everyone has their own viewpoint and opinion of what's going on in Waterbury. And at the same time, they have opinions on how the state is you know, functioning and the big employers and all these elements that add up to, you know, what is going on, where are the trends, you know, what's the positives, the negatives. And we have a group of people who are very free with their opinions, and we certainly encourage that. The idea is for us to gather intelligence so we can, you know, make choices relative to the bank and how we want to proceed in Waterbury. But we are, like I said, we're committed to Waterbury for the long haul. We're not going anyplace.
I know that you're also, you're kind of, well, how would you say this, by proxy members of the Ponte Club?
Yeah, we go to the Ponte Club frequently. We like it. Again, we are, you know, hands-on advisors to our customers. We like to, you know, break bread with our customers and talk to them, not just about their banking, but just to understand where they're going as individuals and as small business people, and, you know, again, understand their requirements. Especially if you talk to almost anybody, I don't think most people would, if you talk to them 5 years ago, would say, or 10 years ago, say, you know, the change in how the technology has impacted their lives and their businesses and everything they do. And I think most people are surprised by it. And I think some people are starting to recognize that it's just going to continue. It's going to snowball.
Yeah, it's moving quickly. People constantly asking me, because my banker for my retail banking business was Mary Schmelke at the Bank Street office. They always ask what happened to her. So could you, she's with the bank, could you give a little update on and she's also a well-known local musician as well.
Yeah, Mary is, like a lot of us, you know, we're multidimensional. When you work in a small organization, and again, the bank is only 200 full-time equivalents, even though we're, you know, 1.1 billion in assets. And so people like Mary and myself, we take on different tasks and different assignments. And so Mary has, you know, broadened from our retail banking, come into operations, and provides an inside or an outside look to that. And it's been extremely helpful.
And I was saying, I also bank at 2084 East Main, North Main at Chase Ave, and at 325 Main Street South in Southbury. And I noticed you switched Aji, the manager of North Main, with Savin, who is the manager of Southbury, and did like a little flip-flop. Tell us a little bit about that and what the thinking is with the managers.
Well, I think in any time you want to give people a chance to blossom. And sometimes we look at people's skill sets and who they know in the neighborhood and where we can make that best fit. And so there's also you don't want people to get stale. So it's important for people to, again, continue to grow. You know, it's in today's world, it's all about personal growth.
Now, I know that the banking industry has a lot of oversight, and the Dodd-Frank law that was hot in politics after the crash of 2008-09 caused a lot of oversight. And I know that you are an FDIC-insured bank. Maybe you could tell the audience a little bit about the benefit of FDIC to them and the regulatory side of your job, but maybe also what it means to the customers, so we don't talk over their head.
Okay, well, let's talk about FDIC for a second. You know, the Federal, Deposit Insurance Corporation, I mean, excuse me, they insure deposits up to $250,000. Now, they are an insurance company. They are they're a regulator. And so they make sure the banks are safe and sound. Now, putting that aside, there's also a compliance aspect to it. And again, because of all these regulations, which are really to protect the consumers and small businesses, that it's a level and fair playing field, that people aren't being taken advantage of, that there aren't where you're misleading, or again, you heard about truth in savings and all the rest of it, fair lending, no redlining, all these terms where financial institutions sometimes try to steer people who are less sophisticated into things that are not to their benefit. Again, I can say this, proudly, that the Savings Bank of Danbury over the 22 years I've been there is always been high integrity. I mean, we are customer first. And again, part of that is we are a mutual, so there's not that quarterly need for earnings. It's a long view. So again, we're here to serve our customers. We have for 170 years. We'll continue to do so.
And I noticed that all the different functions that you attend, which Malcolm Baldrige Award dinner, the St. Mary's Gala, different public or nonprofits, United Way's deal, or their fundraiser, and Martin going up to North Main Street and giving out many hundreds of thousands of dollars last year to all the community groups, which I think speaks volumes to the fact that you are concerned about the customers and you're really at the community level and not looking down from glass towers.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, we have a foundation that really is to give back to the communities. I mean, it's crucial that the health of our communities, the ones that we work in and live in, you know, their health on many levels, you know, economic and, social, whatever, is important to us. You know, again, to support these nonprofits to make sure that the needy and the, you know, the people who are less well off, you know, are supported. So it's very important to us to do the things that we do. And, you know, again, community development, health and well-being, children's aid, you know, support children going back to school who may not have the proper school, you know, supplies. Those are all important to us. And put aside the foundation, I can say this unequivocally, our employees are all about giving within the community.
And to that point, Kristen Bulkovich from United Way is on our advisory board, and one of the benefits I find to going there is to hear what she's up against or problems she's trying to solve with the people that are having tough times. One of her ALICE projects where people need to earn $16 or $18 an hour just to afford an apartment and be on their own, or people that their car breaks and it puts them out of business. It's interesting that we get to have that side of it, because you'd think, oh, I'm in an advisory board, I'm going to hear just from business people. But I think she adds a whole dimension, just like Bill from UConn, Bill Pizzuto, and what these last time we had a talk about students, and because maybe they weren't citizens, they couldn't get a college education, or they pay cash, and some of the things that the bank is trying to do to get these people to have an account that can do it legally, et cetera. I just think that it's invaluable to see how the other side lives, because I think we have a country now that we have those who have and those who don't.
I think the inequality gap, the gap between the one percenters and the rest of us, unfortunately, appears to be growing, and that does have some negative implications for society in general. I think, again, you want to have people, going back to your comment about the restaurant business, you know, there has to be a fair wage. And what that wage is certainly in a capitalistic society is determined by the market a little bit. But at the same time, if people aren't able to, repair their car, pay their rent, do all those basic things, you know, you're going to have issues. It's not helpful. You know, what we really need to do is continue to work to educate our children and our workers to take advantage of the new technologies and those new jobs that are out there. Because it's definitely clear to me that we need people that have a different type of skill than we had in the past.
Without question. But then and this is what I love about this bank with our advisory board and having not just business people on it, but the United Way, and we have Joe that brings us in about the hospitals. We get a real mix. And I still think I'm convinced that there's got to be some way to change this welfare system to bring back some sort of low, no-skill industry in this country that can train people up. so they can start with a job somewhere, because maybe they're not getting the skills from their parents, or maybe they're not getting the skills from the particular school they're in. But if they had to go out and get a job and they started at a lower level and there was some thought put into this low, no-skill industry, that people could get trained. Because work is life, and I think most people would rather be working than being in trouble or getting themselves into habits that, you know, become a prison sentence.
Yeah, I 100% agree that people want to work for the most part. But again, you know, all employers should really look to see, again, it's a competitive world. How do, as these companies transform, the employees, you know, you have existing employees. They're the best people you have. They're already there. You want to train them to go to the next level.
Without question. And I go back, you just mentioned the story on the front page. Wage hikes hit the bottom line. The interesting thing is, Anthony DiMillo, state representative of the 71st District, owns a restaurant in Waterbury. So interesting to read his take on it. And I think the problem sometimes becomes with our one-party system that there needs to be more thought and detail into these laws before they just pass them, because you get the unintended consequences. Same thing with these plastic bags. It's not bringing the money in because people decide, I don't have to pay 10 cents or a bag, you're nickel and a dime in me.
Well, I agree. I think, if you have a robust economy and everyone's working at a fair wage, a lot of these problems go away. You know, the question is, and I'm not elected official, but are some of the tax programs that we have out there fair to the average citizen?
Well, again, it's Ed Flynn, who was the host of this, and I think he was host 13 years of Talk of the Town. I always admired the guy, listened to him, and got to sub for him quite a few times. He would always say, give us value. We don't mind paying taxes, but give us value for them and make sure they're well thought out and they actually work. On that note, Nick Gazzetto, Senior Vice President of the Savings Bank of Danbury, who has a big interest in Waterbury here as we've been speaking, he's going to stay with me for another half an hour. We'd love to get some phone calls, 203-206-8631, because I do have my whole list, but we'd like to hear from you. So hop on the lines, 203-757-1320. Any questions within the topic, and we'll be right back with more.
What makes a home? Is it the color? If so, what will the color look like in the future? With a new decade on the horizon, we're optimistic and revitalized. Benjamin Moore reflects and envisions a new dawn in design, living, and color. They selected First Light as Color of the Year 2020. First Light is a soft, rosy hue, blooming with potential. Stop by Bushka Lumber and Millwork for kitchen, bath, and cabinet needs, 305 Fairfield Avenue in the Town Plot section of Waterbury, to see Benjamin Moore Color Trends and First Light, the Benjamin Moore Color of the Year 2020, and the backdrop of a bright new decade. Are you thinking of remodeling? Sullivan Brothers Remodeling is a full-service building and remodeling company specializing in additions, kitchens, and baths. Launched in 1987, the company also features a huge state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom, depicted as one of the most beautiful showrooms in the state. Sullivan Brothers additionally boasts a custom wood shop, designing and building entertainment centers, cabinets, millwork, and just about anything creatively made from wood. The building and remodeling company employs carpenters, designers, and project managers, and can complete any size job, large or small, residential or commercial, from concept to completion. Sullivan Brothers possess a great love for their employees, their customers, and each other. Sullivan Brothers Remodeling on the Waterbury-Wolcott line. Call for a no-obligation estimate for your project at 203-879-4555.
When you're diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer,
a million questions flood your mind.
How can this be happening?
Am I going to be able to work?
What's a subtype?
What do I do now?
We know.
We went through it too.
But once you start to understand your options,
you can partner with your doctor
and find ways to face MBC on your own terms.
Visit findyourmbcvoice.com and learn how to speak up and have a more informed conversation with your doctor.
Some questions have answers.
Visit findyourmbcvoice.com to find some of yours.
1320 WATR. Hill's Gallery.
And that's via Talk of the Town today. I'm in for Steve Noxon. Steve will be back a little later this week, I think. We have a big staff change out because Tom's on vacation and Barbara's on vacation, and we're just trying to work our way through the holidays, which is why I'm here, and I'm very much appreciated being here. And let's see, for the Hills Gallery show, we're rebranding that special edition Saturday, and it'll be back January 18th, and I'll be sharing that show with, again, with Sarah Elizabeth Carabetta from X4. Looking forward to that, and we've already collected a lot of new music, and it should be entertaining on Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. till noon. And if you want to hear any rebroadcast of these programs that I'm involved in, TomHillRadio.com. You have to give me maybe a week between what we did this morning on auto racing and USA bobsled, et cetera. We're here with Nick Gazzettos, who's a senior vice president of the Savings Bank of Danbury and has responsibility for the Waterbury area, of course. And I guess we started getting off on minimum wage and value for taxes.
Right. Well, I think one of the things we have to talk about is, what's the role of government in this whole thing to begin with? I mean, we talk about setting a bar for minimum wage and other things, but you know, in Greater Waterbury, if we go back from a historic perspective, this was an area where entrepreneurship flourished, and it still does, you know, to a significant extent. And it was driven by the need, because this was not a good place to farm back in the day.
True.
And so, again, what do you do, you know, what do you do to enhance that? And again, if we go around the country, at least as I go around the country, I see a lot of state governments putting money into infrastructure. You know, a strong infrastructure, transportation. You know, again, I don't really want to bring up the toll issue per se, but again, we need money for infrastructure. Anyone who sat on 84, and I think we all do more than we should, and you compare us to other neighboring states, they move people and goods faster than we do. That's important, because I don't think anyone would disagree that as far as New England, the state of Connecticut is well located, and the city of Waterbury is well located within the state of Connecticut. You know, we're at the crossroads of Route 8 and 84. We're not that far from 95. So with the proper infrastructure, again, you know, to really make traffic move, it would really enhance what's going on in Greater Waterbury.
And for our listeners, it's been the endless debate on Talk of the Town, this program that we're on today, 10 to 1 with Steve Noxon. I think everybody agrees that we need the transportation and the infrastructure. The big debate has been how to pay for it, and mistakes that the past administrations and the control of the legislature in one party have made mistakes, big ones. And people are gun shy, and there's a lack of trust. So I hope going forward, because we're going to start all this again in early February with another session, there's no question we need the infrastructure. And I think Waterbury's been lucky that highway is finally fixed from, and we'll get that caller in just a second. Stay there, caller. There's no question that the I-84 fix from St. Mary's Hospital going towards Hartford has been fantastic. We're in the middle of a mixed master fix, which is great. And then next, it's going to be west, towards the Danbury. So I think that's all positive. It's just, how do we work out the mechanics of paying for it?
That's correct. So without it, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be set back.
And let's hope, I think we will come, and stay tuned to Talk of the Town, because Steve Noxon will have every detail, as well as the Republican American, but we take it to a little deeper level here, taking phone calls, which we're going to take one now. Go ahead, you're on with Nick Gazzettos.
Afternoon to both of you, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your families. Sir, a couple of sentences to the letter of the governor, if you don't mind. And this is what the letter sentences say. Sir, are you brain dead to the fact that if you take $1 billion from the taxpayers in taxes, how many more businesses will move or go out of business from that lost revenue? I mean, that was just one of the sentences. And my next sentence is basically the same thing. Every time a taxpayer bails out of Connecticut, a business closes or leaves, that increases the taxes on the citizens who are left who do pay taxes. Are you brain dead to that fact, too? And one of my other comments is, it's your way or the highway, and your highways have tolls.
Right, good job with reading all your sentences, but what is your direct question or your point that you'd like Nick Gazzettos, senior lender, to address?
What's happening to the, you know, sir, you know how many businesses are leaving Connecticut, how many people are leaving Connecticut. You know, isn't anybody can aware, make the governor aware of what's actually happening?
Let me interrupt and say something. I think sometimes the information we get is not the whole story. Because, again, yes, I agree. Connecticut, in a growing country, its population has really remained static. But at the same time, again, given its location, the proximity to both New York and Boston, it leads for other opportunities. And there are other opportunities going on. I mean, I was talking to some people earlier this week talking about some, again, it's Connecticut will never become the insurance capital of the world again. The world has changed. But there's other things that Connecticut can do and provide to the country and to the global economy. I mean, we do have a very well-educated workforce. So I think sometimes we get caught up in the rhetoric, and you know, I don't disagree that there are people and businesses leaving, but there are also businesses that are 21st century type businesses coming into Connecticut and looking to establish themselves.
And sir, just give me one to put in, because Nick has a bigger view, our guest here, because they loan many millions of dollars to and hundreds of thousands of dollars, et cetera, to a broad spectrum of businesses throughout the greater Danbury and the greater Waterbury area. They work down in Stamford. They're all over the place. So he's got a bigger view of the world than us sitting here being mad about tolls and maybe thinking the governor's saying one thing when there may be more to it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
That caller is always well-versed. Love to get some more calls, 203-757-1320. Nick, do you have anything else before I keep moving here?
Well, I think going back to the caller, I think, you know, you've got to look at it in the totality. You know, we get snippets of information, but a lot of things are happening on a corporate level that we're not aware of. And again, Connecticut has always been, and I think always will be, a place where entrepreneurs, you know, figure it out. There's things happening, and, you know, again, we have this precision metalworking industries that we've had, some of this high tech, especially on the military side, the aerospace. These all, you know, incubate other businesses, and so I think those are important things that we can't forget.
And anyway. We do have the Manufacturing Matters show here every one Thursday a month with Rich DuPont and Mr. Strobel. These are both industrial fellows, and they bring in some pretty interesting guests. They brought in David Lehman from the Department of Economic Community Development. And I think what you're saying, Nick, is a lot of these businesses have learned to do business all over the country and all over the world.
Absolutely.
Spread their risk out. And I know.
Well, also, you know, again, the cost of doing business in China is different than the cost of business here. At the same time, there's certain things that, you know, offshore they can't do. They can't do some of the precision that's here. You know, there's different, you know, there's government interference, you know. So I think the many of the manufacturers sort of, you know, play both sides. They have to take advantage of outsourcing. But obviously, I think in many cases, their preference would be to manufacture here.
Well, I think more of it's coming back because China, as we've learned the hard way, it's been, you know, very difficult with the tariffs and Mr. Trump standing up to China. But I agree that he had to stand up because the Chinese are taking our technology and they don't play fair. And
100% agreement, Tom. They do not play fair. And I applaud the president for standing up. You know, I don't always agree with the president on other items, but relative to China, I think he's done a fine job.
Well, and going forward here, because I'm an industrial broker, I see this all the time. I started to mention the Manufacturing Matters show in that we have to keep training the workers. I think we're short hundreds of thousands of positions here because the skill set hasn't raised to the level as fast as manufacturers have grown and gotten better at what they do. So that's a big opportunity going forward. And we have the Manufacturing Matters so that people can understand what's happening in these factory floors. You have the edge that you loan a lot of these people money. And what is the work of you and your 20? I know you have Ray Koska, Ralph Richard. What is the training and the work that your folks have to do to make an educated loan? Because you have to get paid back.
Well, that's the objective. But again, it starts with the vision of the entrepreneur and, you know, again, if well laid out business plan. You know, again, it can't just be the bank that's taking all the risk. The entrepreneur has to take the risk. But, you know, again, we make calculated, you know, determinations on who can be successful. And we, as you point out, we finance a great many small businesses across a wide spectrum of you know, industries. And so it's actually the best part of the job, going out and seeing someone and meeting somebody who has, you know, an idea that he or she want to take forward, and you know they work hard and they, you know, they persevere, and you know the bank just, we're just going along for the ride.
Well, but you go out to their turf.
Oh, absolutely.
I can say that we've had dinner with them at the Ponte Club and Ralph Richard. We've met your lenders. I mean, you guys really go out there and work. They come to all my real estate clubs. You guys are very involved in the community, but it gives you prime intelligence, in my opinion, that you can,
of course,
helps you do a better job.
Yeah, you have to understand where, because again, we pick up, you know, from a variety of sources, you know, financial and, you know, and strategic information that, you know, helps us as we, you know, lend money and try to grow the bank. Absolutely.
203-757-1320, 203-757-1320. I know the bank on the Danbury side, and it's come over here as well. You've had a big, long 170 years in loaning to the housing industry and residential mortgages, and you're one of the few banks that's still doing construction, did construction loans through the crunch. Talk to the audience a little bit about the service that the bank provides to the end customer who's going to get a nice home somewhere, even though you're helping the builder build apartments or a subdivision or something along those lines.
Well, again, it shows the commitment to the bank that, in going back to that Great Recession, you know, we never stopped, we never pulled back, because there's always, even in the worst of times, you know, 90% of the economy, 95% of the economy is still moving forward, although they may be moving at a slower pace. And there are always someone looking for a new home. So our commitment is we're lenders, and we're going to lend, you know. And again, maybe we become a little more conservative, but at the same time, we don't stop what our primary business is.
Well, you're well prepared for it. I'm going to take a commercial break, but I just don't want to let this slide by. I just thought of that caller that called before reading the nastiness to the governor, are you brain dead, are you brain dead? I don't want to let that go by because I don't think this fellow is at all brain dead. I've met him personally in the Naugatuck Industrial Park with Ron Pugliese and Mayor Hess, and I think he's a very bright guy. I think he's in some very difficult situations from people that came before him and people that he doesn't have control of. So I'd like to just apologize to the audience for that. I mean, I know he's reading off a paper. I think the man is far from brain dead. And we'll go back to that. So we'll be back. 203-757-1320. Love to get a few calls for Nick. We're going to keep him here till about 5 minutes of one. So if you want to get on the line, 203-757-1320.
Help the poor of Waterbury. Over 40 years ago, Father Philip Cascia, a compassionate young priest, heard those words, and the St. Vincent de Paul Mission was born. Hi, I'm Father Jim Sullivan, rector of the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception and St. Vincent de Paul board member. Beginning in 1978 with a simple thrift store for the needy, Father Cascia soon organized the largest homeless shelter in Connecticut with 102 beds, a mental health facility, affordable housing, and a soup kitchen that provides nearly 400 meals each day. Our many services require great resources. This Christmas and holiday season, please consider a gift of any amount to the St. Vincent de Paul Mission. P.O. Box 1612, Waterbury 06721. Or online at svdpmission.org. As Scripture says, whatever you did to these, the least of my brothers and sisters, you did unto me. The St. Vincent de Paul Mission. Give the gift of hope this Christmas.
This holiday season, United Way of Greater Waterbury invites you to help create the change we all want to see in our community. I'm Michael Connor of Webster Bank and this year's campaign chair. One thing we can all agree on is that this community helps others when they are down. And we can all do that through our support of the United Way. Help us create the change this season by learning more and donating at unitedwaygw.org today.
Presented in the public interest by WATR Radio.
If you're in the market for a new car, you've probably been online researching the best vehicles for you and your family. I'm Bob Alvine, president of Premier Subaru Watertown. And we're proud of the fact that we represent Subaru, the brand that has more vehicles with the top safety scores than any other brand. And Premier has hundreds of Subarus available with the best pricing and our exclusive nationwide lifetime powertrain warranty. See all the new Subaru models at Premier Subaru in Watertown or online at premiersubaruwatertown.com.
WATR's Music Museum opens the door to musical history. You'll find an array of hits and songs you have long forgotten about right here on the Music Museum Now, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Jay Crawford celebrates some of the greatest names in entertainment, a time before the internet, cell phones, and social media. It's 45s and 33s in the golden age of rock and roll. It's Elvis and the Beatles, doo-wop and country. Jay Crawford's Music Museum, 6 o'clock Sunday night right here on WATR 1320 AM.
Thanks, Chris. Chris did a nice job as Tom Shoot this morning, and Chris will be on the air the rest of the week, so make sure you tune in. He does a very, very nice job, and I know most of our audience is tuned in all the time, so we thank you. All right, before we go to the next caller, let's just give you a quick shot on the weather with Ashley Baylor at News 8.
Hopefully everybody had a great Christmas. Your Waterbury area weather really looking good today. Even though we did have lots of sunshine yesterday and we will be tracking more clouds today, it is still going to be mild with temperatures topping out in the low 40s. Expect mostly cloudy skies as we head through the overnight hours, but it will stay dry with temperatures dipping into the 30s. Tomorrow as we close out the week, we will still be tracking mostly cloudy skies, and there is a 2 in 10 chance of a passing shower, but I really wouldn't worry about the umbrella as I think most of us will stay dry. Despite the fact that we will be tracking quite a bit of cloud cover tomorrow, it is going to be another mild one with temperatures topping out in the mid-40s. For WATR, I'm News 8 meteorologist Ashley Baylor. You can always find our latest forecast updates at WTNH.com.
Hills Gallery.
1320 WATR.
And thanks for tuning in. We go to the phone call. Sir, you're on with Nick Gazettos.
Okay, yeah. Hey, my name is Bob. Look, and the reason I'm calling, I think it was on Friday that, you know, Andy that calls occasionally.
Okay.
All right. Okay. He's an old-timer.
We know who he is, yep.
Well, okay, fine. Well, he called, and he said, you know, for Christmas, he wants a new mattress. And he said, apparently, the mattress that he's got, okay, it's got all kinds of springs that are popping out on him, and he's got to put a lot of pillows on it so he can sleep. All right, and I'm just wondering if anybody had called him and said, Jesus, I got a mattress for you, Andy, you know?
Well, you know, I'm going to take a note of that, and because I like Andy, and we'll take a note of that, and I'll talk to the people around here and see if we can help with that. That's very nice of you to give us that.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Because I know the place on Thomason Avenue, they donate, you know, a lot of stuff to people that are in need, and he certainly is a guy that could use something. I mean, and I'd be glad to go and buy one if that's the case. Anyways.
He lives over in the I'll talk to you off the air, and thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
I know, there's a lot of people that are in need. There's no
Absolutely.
Question about it, especially this time of year. Yeah. Andy.
Well, I think that's one of the issues. The issues, and let's go back to the Alice thing you talked about. It doesn't stop. We do a lot of giving this time of year, but we can't forget our fellow citizens throughout the year.
Yeah, and you give what you can afford to give.
Yeah.
You know, if you give $10, $25, $100, $1,000, whatever you can afford to give all year long is a good idea. And I know we run a lot of fundraising for St. Vincent de Paul Society. I know my wife and I have been giving to Acts 4, and they're happy to take clothing or furniture. Just like this gentleman saying, hey, Andy needs a mattress. So there's a lot of ways you can be charitable or volunteer as well.
Well, it does. It is an amazing thing that how much we throw out that probably could be repurposed.
Front page story on the Wall Street Journal late last week that people that go to dumps and find stuff in the dumps and package it and sell it on Amazon.
Yeah,
so
right.
To your point, Nick,
yeah.
well taken. 203-757-1320. You're on Talk of the Town. I'm Tom Hill in for Steve Noxon. I think we have some other guests. I think John from The Observer is going to come on this week, and I think you'll hear some different voices that you'll enjoy as well. Let's go back to the online banking, because I know a lot of these kids are younger people today, and you always say, introduce me to millennials. Want to bank on their phone. What investment have you made in the sbdanbury.com banking world?
Okay, I think there's a misunderstanding. It's not just millennials that bank on their phone. It's all of us.
Really?
It's all of us. And maybe the people over 60 are slower to adopt, but that group is adopting online banking at a fast clip right now. And I think that's what you're going to see, that we're all going to be banking to a certain extent online. And at least this is my personal viewpoint, is that, again, the first thing we'll do is we'll use our phones or, you know, desktop or iPad or whatever device you want to use. And then if we have an issue, that's when we have the advisory of the individual banker who can answer their questions. Because people, you know, this is a self-service world. I mean, when was the last time you pumped your own gas? I mean, that's how it is. And people like it because they like to be able to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I'd prefer that someone pump my gas, Nick.
Okay, sorry. But in any event, let's go back to your question. Again, we continue to enhance the online, you know, abilities of the bank to, you know, make deposits online, pay all your bills online, to transfer money to whoever you want to online. And again, providing your bank statements, you know, the tax forms, all these things that are important to us in our daily financial life. Again, with the ability to pick up the phone and talk to someone or come into one of our branches.
Well, when you had your 170th anniversary party, your president, Martin Margotto, who's a Waterbury native, he was very proud of a new type teller station that you had out at the meeting to show everybody. Why don't you talk a little bit about
the ITM is really...
ITM.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the automated teller machine is, again, like lots of technology, evolves, and now the ITM will allow people to do pretty much any transaction that a teller does. You know, again, not for everybody, but at some point, you know, if you can't sleep at night and you want to get an official check to a bank check to, you know, buy a used car, theoretically, you can go to the ITM and have, you know, get that done. So, again, it providing those services that, you know, you get between the normal business hours that will be available to you 24/7.
And your bank has embraced, I think, Facebook and a lot more
Well, the social media. Have to.
Business on your website as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, social media, that's we're social creatures, and this is where we go now. I mean, unfortunately, it has a negative impact on newspapers. I'm a big believer in reading several daily newspapers, but this is where the average person is going to get their information.
Well, the newspapers, the smart ones, have gone omnichannel, and you can get the news online, and many of them provide, I mean, I'm a big fan. Every day I read the Republican American, probably twice, and I read the Wall Street Journal to get that news, but a lot of people like to get it on the web as long as you can get the info. I like it in my hand, but it's just, like you said, times have changed. What papers are you reading daily?
I read the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Danbury, you know, local paper there. Certainly, I love reading the Waterbury Republican, and I read it periodically.
Right, you're over on the other side.
And then sometimes I actually read the Chicago Tribune.
Okay. So. Though is that one? That one would be online, though, I think.
Yes. I'm trying to transition, Tom, to be paperless.
Good luck with that, Nick. And I'll just
for your audience, I'm not that young.
Well, and I myself will just say to the business people out there, it is very important to form a personal relationship with your banker, your commercial lender, and I love going to the branch and knowing the tellers. To me, it just that works for me in my business because I've got to go to the bank a bunch because I'm in financial services and I like the personal stuff. But my wife is expert at working the online bill pay and all that stuff, the statements and all. So we have a blended relationship.
Yeah, I've done this over the last year. I've asked people two questions: how often they go into the bank, to the branch, on a monthly or even annual basis, and ask them how many checks they write. And I've noticed over the last several years, you know, no one's writing checks anymore. I mean, one and two, you know, if you go to church or wherever for donations and things like that. But a lot of people are paying their primary bills electronically because it's just so easy and you don't have to, you know, spend for a stamp.
No, it is true. It is true. That reminds me that the post office missed the boat on email.
Yeah.
Although I still mail postcards regular because it seems to work. I think people are overburdened with too much email.
Well, I think one of the things you said, people enjoy opening up mail to a certain extent. I mean, we get a lot of so-called junk mail, but, you know, getting a holiday card or a greeting card or a birthday card.
Or a thank you note.
Even better. That's certainly a lost art form.
Your president created a vehicle for parades.
Oh, yes, that's correct.
That's cool marketing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the bank went out and had a float built, and we've taken it to a number of parades throughout Western Connecticut. It's been very successful. Our employees like it, our customers like it, and certainly the citizenry appear to like it as well. So,
and I know one of your customers is a Ford dealer, and you've got a Ford Explorer and had it fully wrapped. Explain that.
Yes. Well, again, in today's world, you know, Tom used the term omni-channels. That's what it is. You know, we take a advertising and a really like a plastic wrap it just over the car with all sorts of information on the bank, you know, highlighting the 170th anniversary, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
And is there a special driver that has to pull the float in the parades, some special training so they don't hurt anybody?
Well, again, we try to find people who've driven a trailer before, but it works out. And I think, it cements who we it dovetails who we are, which we're, even though we do have all these electronic technologies, we are still hands-on, and we're around to see people.
Well, you're around here the day of Christmas. I sent a note to you a week ago, and you said, yeah, I can make that program.
Yeah.
So this is terrific that you drove over to the market and didn't come by phone. And then to get near the wrap-up, talk about how many people are on your management team, including your marketing guy, Loris, and how often do you guys all meet up as a group to keep this bank going in the right direction?
Well, you know, Martin has, ongoing meetings with us, and, you know, a lot of us meet with Martin individually or in smaller groups. But again, it's, you know, Martin has a vision for the future. He's very committed to the bank being independent and relevant, and it's the job of the rest of the team to make that happen. In a world that is continuing to evolve, you know, with these new technologies, and I can't underemphasize that. Overemphasize. I mean, it's this is the world we live in, and it's going to continue to change. And for us who want to be survivors, you know, and you can take any small business, because I liken the bank to being a small business in many regards. You can't go with the same strategies and tactics you did, you know, last year. You've got to, you know, adapt to what's happening around you.
It's definitely moving at a very quick pace.
Oh, absolutely, it's flying.
Yeah, it sure is, and you have to be on it. And this is a reason that I like to look at the Wall Street Journal every day.
Of course.
Now, do you start? Are you reading all day long, or are you reading at breakfast? Or
I would say I'm more of a all day long reader.
Okay, catching. You got a few minutes? Let me look at the paper. I know if I have a doctor's appointment or something, I try to keep the paper with me so I can catch up.
I carry my iPad with me, like, wherever I go.
And you're a family man with how many kids?
4 kids, 6 grandchildren.
Okay, and they're all over the country?
Yeah, they're scattered about. Yeah.
Okay, so you're a high mileage guy. You got any extra airline miles you want to give up?
Well, I prefer to drive in many cases, but no. If I have any extra, I'm keeping those down. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, Nick, why don't you take 30 seconds to wrap it up to the Waterbury audience, especially since you're in Waterbury today?
Yeah, I would say to the listeners here, I just want to emphasize the bank's commitment to Greater Waterbury. I've worked in Waterbury for a number of years, and I think it's a community that has great potential. Has been at the forefront of entrepreneurial, spirit. And I think, again, if the state legislature has a mind to and puts the money into infrastructure, I think Waterbury will go to the next level. I'm looking forward to seeing that happen.
Nice of you to come over today.
My pleasure.
Appreciate
Tom. Merry Christmas to everybody and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you, Nick. Nice of you to come. Well, my sponsors that have ran with the Hills Gallery all this time, Tom Schutz said it was okay to thank them. Ann's Deli will be back open tomorrow at 1595 Baldwin Street. My friend Sam Haydock is the LEP from the BL Companies, blcompanies.com. Nutmeg Fine Wine and Spirits. I got some fabulous wine picks over at 1650 Watertown Avenue. Go over and see Rob, and he'll pick you a case. He'll tell you which ones are good, especially, you need to know your wines. And Savings Bank of Danbury has been following me around for a long time. You can bank online at sbdanbury.com. Appreciate Nick coming over today. Dr. Jack McHugh is the podiatrist that does not make you wait. and $200 off on a pair of custom-made orthotics. I have to go get my second pair retuned up because I wore them out. Wendy Mutter from the Lutheran Home, 990 Main Street North. I want to thank her for buying the last 8 or 9 shows, and hope she'll be back with us on Special Edition Saturday, which comes back January 18th. Skincare at the Waverly, they were a new one that Sarah brought in. Sarah Carabetta, appreciate the skincare at the Waverly. Still not too late to buy a gift certificate. And we'll be back with Special Edition Saturday on January 18th. And I want to thank my lovely wife, Sandy, for all her support. And appreciate it very much. So this is 1320 WATR. Fox is coming up all afternoon. And Chris Fortier will be there tomorrow morning for you.